This podcast is sponsored by Blue Butterfly, the go-to cocktail bar and place to meet on Earl Street, Maidstone. bluebutterfly.co.uk. Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Nicola Everett.
Hello, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Hope you're okay on Wednesday, August the 4th. We're going to start off today with more tributes that have been paid to a young man found dead following a night out in Rochester. On Monday, we told you Rory Baldwin had been reported missing from the Vines area of the town in the early hours of Saturday. He was discovered in nearby St Margaret Street the following day. Well, friends and family of the 25-year-old have left flowers in the grounds of St Margaret's Church, where police have been searching. Rory had been a pupil at Raynham Mark Grammar School in Raynham before his family moved to Surrey. Head teacher Alan Moore has said, "We're saddened to hear of the death of one of our ex-students, Rory Baldwin. He was a well-liked student who attended Raynham Mark Grammar School between 2006 and 2013. Our thoughts are with his family at this difficult time." Former support teacher at the school, Carol Seaborn, has said, "He had a lovely personality, always kind, always polite. He was very popular and was in a strong friendship group. I'm sure all the teaching staff at the school who met him would say the same, and I hope that can be some support to his family." Well, police have told the podcast that Rory's death isn't being treated as suspicious, and a report is now being prepared for the coroner.
Kent Online News.
Just over 2 weeks since COVID restrictions were lifted, we've been finding out how many of you are still wearing masks while shopping. A quick count of people heading in and out of the Mall in Maidstone found 105 of the 250 we saw were wearing a face covering, so under half. And while they're not a requirement anymore, experts say it's still worth wearing them as we learn to live with the virus. Dr. Jeremy Rossman is a senior lecturer in virology at the University of Kent.
I strongly encourage and really ask people, even if you're fully vaccinated, to keep wearing masks when you're in indoor environments with other people around. Shopping centers, you know, stores. This is really important because it does make a difference. And people that are fully vaccinated can still transmit the virus and have a very small chance of getting infected, but they do have a chance. So masks help reduce transmission. They still help reduce transmission even if you're fully vaccinated. So it helps the vaccines work better. So yeah, keep using masks. Indoor environments, it's a really good idea.
And this is what shoppers in Maidstone had to say.
When I go to shops, we wear it, but when we're outside, we don't.
No, that's no. Right. Yeah, same before. When you had to wear them in shops, yeah, we always did. Outside, we didn't. So it's fresh air.
It's been 2 weeks now since it's, you know, down to you whether you wear a mask. Obviously, you've both got yours on now. Do you sort of still want to wear them, still don't feel comfortable enough to walk around without one?
Actually, we are used to fit this one since 1 year, so we can't live without this one. You know, actually, we think this is the necessary part of life. So if we are not wearing this mask, we feel something lost. That's why we are wearing this mask.
Yeah, and why are you decided to wear yours?
Yeah, same like that. It became a part of our life, the mask.
And would you feel a bit unsafe not wearing it at the moment?
It's not like a safe issue, just like, you know, it's just like a comfort. We feel very secure and comfortable with the mask rather than without mask, yeah.
I still want to wear them for safety reasons because, I don't know, we've been in and out of lockdown so many times. The cases have gone up repeatedly. As soon as you think that it's dying down, we go straight back into lockdown again. And it's a matter of, like, I don't know what to say, it's fear more than anything else. You don't want to get the virus. That's about it, really. I mean, I'm still wearing masks when I go in confined spaces, but in open spaces, I'm not wearing them.
Are you continuing to still wear it or not?
Yeah, I still wear my mask when I have to. I think people should do, because it's not only you you're looking after, it's other people, isn't it? So it's better to... for the whole community than it is. I mean, people are selfish if they said they don't want to wear a mask any time.
We've also been out and about in Canterbury. Sophie Ebbs is sales assistant at Wrapped.
I'm wearing masks because I still think it's necessary. I think it's very likely that we'll have another wave, and I don't agree with all the restrictions being lifted.
Have you seen many people out today not wearing masks, and has that figure gone up since 2 weeks ago, do you think?
I think it's gone up since 2 weeks ago, but in enclosed places, most people are still wearing them, especially in the shops.
Okay, excellent. And how do you feel when you're around people that maybe aren't wearing them at the moment?
Well, if I've got one on, I'm fine. That's the way I look at it.
Well, data shows that coronavirus deaths have been steadily rising in Kent over the past month. 10 have been recorded in the last week, compared to 3 in the 7 days to July the 9th. Just over 100 people are currently being treated in hospital with COVID in the county, but infection rates are still dropping. You can let us know what you think about mask wearing by leaving a comment on the story or indeed on our socials. An update now on a story we first brought you yesterday, and a woman dubbed a nightmare neighbour who's been evicted from her Faversham home says she's the victim of false allegations. Cara Dane has been made to leave the top floor flat on Brook Road after police were called 23 times. It's now been boarded up. The 37-year-old says she's been badly treated and didn't get to tell her side of the story. Police insist the decision to evict her was not taken lightly. A report's found improvements to medical care services are still needed at 2 Kent hospitals. Inspectors visited the Kent and Canterbury and William Harvey in Ashford in May. While infection control measures had got better, some staff still weren't washing their hands before entering wards or following social distancing guidelines. East Kent Hospital's trust is no longer rated inadequate, and bosses are promising to address the concerns. There are calls for people who are repeatedly caught littering in a part of Kent to be fined up to £5,000. Ashley Clark, who's in charge of enforcement at Canterbury City Council, wants to tackle what he calls the national disease, with tough rules inspired by Singapore. He says the current measures aren't enough to stop people dropping rubbish, and our streets and beaches are suffering.
The Kent Online Podcast with Blue Butterfly, Earl Street, Maidstone.
£9 million could be spent on providing more support to victims of domestic abuse in Kent. Figures show a 12% rise in domestic abuse-related crime reports to police in the county between March and July last year, compared to the same time in 2019. Council bosses are calling for work currently done by the Kent Integrated Domestic Abuse Service to continue until 2026. A 14-bed mental health unit at Kent's biggest hospital could be closed and relocated. There are plans to shut Ruby Ward at Medway Maritime in Gillingham and open a purpose-built facility in Maidstone as part of a £12 million project. The new ward would have an extra 2 beds, all in single ensuite rooms, and be based on Hermitage Lane. More than £115,000 has been raised to help a Gravesend mum get access to potentially life-extending treatment. Nicola Biddescombe was diagnosed with breast cancer in April while she was pregnant with her third child. The disease has now spread to her lungs, liver and skin. The 34-year-old has been told her condition is terminal, but a drug available in the US may help. She's been speaking along with her partner Todd.
Just something that you just don't even think about. I just thought it was pregnancy related. It was nothing to worry about, antibiotics, and I'll be all right. So it was a bit of a shock, really.
Nick did find it, and we was sort of, oh, yeah, we'll get it done. And you put it off, and you put it off. And that's the trouble. When you put it off, sometimes, you know,
yeah,
it can be a little too late. So
it spread to lungs, liver, bone, and quite a lot of the lymph nodes, which, yeah, was bad news.
And your lungs.
Yeah, lungs also as well, yeah. I mean, the NHS has been amazing. We've took everything that they've offered and they're still trying. We're trying a new drug combination on my next round to see if that's effective, because the chemo that I've had at the moment isn't doing what it should. It's still growing. It's continued to grow. But yeah, there's a drug out in America for triple negative breast cancer, which is what I have, that seems to be really promising. The fundraising itself is just incredible. Can't thank everybody enough, really, for that. It's just, and I think that's give us another boost to keep going.
We're truly thankful for everything that people have already done and continue to do for us. So it is literally so overwhelming, and the support we've had is just amazing. I can't say, words can't put it into context of how thankful we are.
And you can find details of how to donate on the story on Kent Online. More than £600,000 has been spent on incentives to encourage people to take hard-to-fill posts in Kent over 2 years. Nearly 300 applicants for jobs at the County Council were given golden hellos. Most of them were for roles in children's social services. At Kent Online, you can see pictures of graves in Faversham, which look to have sunk into the ground following heavy rain. They're thought to have dropped by about 2 feet at Love Lane Cemetery. The council say they're aware of the issue, which is not uncommon, and repair work will be carried out. More homes are going to be built at a former gunpowder site in Faversham. Developers have been given the go-ahead with the second phase of building, which will see another 106 houses built. When it's completed, the £40 million Faversham Lakes development will have 330 homes. There'll also be a nature park, visitor centre and Sea Scout headquarters. Ollie Mears, who's due to perform in Kent next month, has revealed he's had surgery on his leg after suffering an injury on stage on Friday.
Basically, after my second song, a fragment of bone that was in my knee managed to lodge itself on the back of my knee, which basically shut my leg down. And during the gig, I was just like limping the whole time.
He's posted a video message on Insta from his hospital bed thanking fans for their support. He reckons he'll be back on stage later this month, but might not be running around like he normally does. He's due to perform at the Hot Farm near Paddock Wood on September the 18th. Nearly 800 people have signed a petition to save Dover's only theatre. Bosses say the Roundhouse will have to be relocated from the Discovery Centre, which is getting a £7 million refurbishment. The County Council, which owns the building, have offered to support the theatre group with temporary storage, but campaigners fear youngsters will lose out if the venue leaves the area. And at Kent Online today, you can see the incredibly strange moment. A family cracked open a giant chicken egg, only to discover another fully formed egg inside.
Oh my God.
What is it, Henry?
What is that?
An egg.
An egg in an egg.
Inside an egg?
Yeah, inside a big egg.
Should we crack this one?
Yeah.
Go on then.
What? Big, 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 big.
Ready?
An egg inside an egg.
Well, the egg in question was one of three huge ones that had been laid by a chicken owned by the Oliver family in Faversham. They say they've never seen anything like it before, and to be fair, neither had we.
Kent Online Sport.
Starting off at the Olympics, and the 19-year-old who broke Kent's Dame Kelly Holmes' British record in the 800 metres says it still hasn't sunk in just yet. Keely Hodgkinson won a silver medal at the Tokyo Games yesterday. She was almost a second faster than the time set by Dame Kelly 26 years ago.
That's gonna take a long time to settle in, I think. That was the bit I was shocked about. I was jumping around going 155. I don't even remember, but it was a really great moment, and hopefully I can keep producing these times because they are incredible, and I'm gonna need to because I think Mo is the great athlete, and hopefully we've got many more years of competition to go. Kelly Holmes, I think I said it last night in an interview as well, like she's going to be a legend of our sport, especially in British athletics, for a long, long time, because what she did, double gold, still no one's replicated that. So even though I've taken her record, she's still an absolute like honour to be taken in her footsteps, and hopefully, yeah, I can carry on doing that. Maybe I'll get a gold one day. And she's been really supportive over the past couple of days as well, just sending us all messages. And, yeah, she's a great person. I can't wait to meet her one day.
Elsewhere, Britain's women's hockey team will not get the chance to defend their Olympic title. The side, which includes Kent players Sarah Jones, Grace Balston and Sue Townsend, were beaten 5-1 by the Netherlands in the semi-final. Tunbridge racewalker Tom Bosworth goes in the 20-kilometre event tomorrow. Ahead of the race, he's been talking about how coming out improved his own performances. Very similar to Jamal Howlett-Mundell from Sheppey United, who was on yesterday's podcast. Here's what Tom has had to say.
There's just over 100 openly LGBTQ plus athletes at these games out of 11,000 athletes. And so the maths to me just doesn't add up. And I don't think it's silly to assume that there are more people out there who are having to hide who they are. And I've always said, if you look at my story, I don't think it's coincidence after coming out publicly and having no worries whatsoever. My career results changed dramatically, and I think it could have been that 1%, 5%, 10% of worry of what people might think of me went into training instead of wasting it. And so that is my message to people. Like, we do need to keep going on about it, because ultimately it's people's lives that we are talking about and making it better. And from a sports side, it's also performance related. And so from sports governing bodies to clubs around the world, you know, they would want their athletes happy, because happy athletes are successful athletes, and that can only bode well. And I do think we are at a real changing point with this, because we are starting to see some more high profile people choosing to live openly, announcing these things on social media, which has come out of the blue a little bit. And I think that's really, really good to see. I really do think we're at a point where, with the more high profile people feel confident and comfortable coming out, it's going to trickle down, and it's going to be kind of easier for others to do so. And the support is now in place to encourage those people to do that and live openly.
We wish Tom all the best for tomorrow. We'll update you on how he got on. And finally, in football, the Gillingham boss says his side are ready for the new season after their final friendly. They were beaten 5-0 at Norwich City last night, but Steve Evans says it was a good experience for his players.
No, I was delighted with the boys. You know, we're here without some big players, aren't we? I was talking to the sporting director before the game, and he said, "Oh, shit," he says, "You know, where's Jackson, where's McKenzie, where's Dempsey, where's Reeves?" And we know that Jacko and McKenzie struggle a little bit, but Dempsey and Reeves were just feeling themselves after the weekend, so we have to take ultra precaution, don't we? When we've come here tonight, we can see how patched up we are in terms of later on as well, when we've got some academy kids on the pitch, which in an ideal world we wouldn't be playing in League One when we go forward. But I thought for long spells in the game, we contained them. We had to have a great deal. I spoke about it before we came, but having some organisation, good defensive shape. And I think if you look at the goals, first goal's a deflection, gives goalkeeper no chance. I think second, Max goes to sleep a little bit, could deal with it. You know, and I think then the third one, we get caught ball watching a little bit. So there can be excuses for goals, but they're top side. It's a pleasure to come to Carr Road at any time to play football and manage teams here, and they get a wonderful support. I think tonight has been what we needed. We needed to step up a lot of players in terms of how hard we worked, a really intense 70 to 90 minutes, and we got that. I know they've missed a couple of games because of COVID issues, but I think arguably seven of that team are playing against Liverpool here on Saturday week. So an education for some of our players to play at that level, but it was good to be involved in. And I would never say that much on a 5-0 defeat. You know, young Harvey loses the fifth goal, which is a shame, he's an academy boy. So we go away and we've worked really hard, and we'll freshen up now and get ready for Lincoln.
Gillingham kick off the new campaign against Lincoln City at Priestfield on Saturday. Well, that's all for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Plus, you can subscribe to the IM News app. That will give you access to all KM Group newspapers. Just head to subsaver.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Blue Butterfly, the go-to cocktail bar and place to meet on Earl Street, Maidstone. BlueButterfly.co.uk.